Hi, this is Joey from Two Blokes and Blight. And before we get into the episode, we're going to hear from our old friend, our best friend, the loveliest man that ever did lovely, but not that one. We're going to hear from Josh. Forget about it, Scar, at Talking Smack.
Forget about it.
Take it away, Josh.
What's up, nerds? This is Josh from Talking Smack, where we talk superheroes, movies, animation, comics, and so much more. Every week, we break down the latest blockbuster movies, TV shows, revisit comic events. We even talk to comic creators like Kyle Higgins, Melissa Flores, and Matt Groom. And don't miss out on our superhero showdown episodes, where we debate your suggestions on who would win in a fight, or maybe they might become friends. So join in on the conversation with me, Josh, and my co-host Alex every Wednesday on your podcatcher of choice. Look for our yellow and red icon, and we'll see you soon, smackheads.
Yeah, it's pink eye. It's back.
As we spoke about last week.
I don't know, just fucking ball of cheese.
He's a bad bitch.
Kate on his cheese steaks, they're yummy. But don't piss him off, because he'll rip your head in two.
Didn't rhyme, but I liked it. I'm going to charm.
It's Irish basketball. Who gives a fuck?
I fucking hate bananas. It makes me sad I share my birthday with a fucking banana day.
Of all, I was seated by the window and the draft was a serious inconvenience. This is Tim from Two Blokes from Blighty, and I'm joined by my usual co-host, Joey Fitz.
Tim, you are bringing two consecutive Shikari lyrics. Big fan.
I've been listening to them a lot lately while I've been like working on cases at work.
Good man yourself. I am joined by the boiled Tim Fitzgerald.
Boiled.
Boil boy.
I am very soft, so...
Boy. Tim, I over the last few weeks, I have been enjoying some 3am humour and putting your name into songs.
All right, what have you got?
I don't have a song with your name in.
Oh.
What I have is an idea, a dream.
A pitch.
Okay. Well, it is sort of a pitch and sort of a song. So... You know, our introduction music and our end music are the same, but one is 20 BPM slower.
Sure, yeah.
I want to replace one of them.
Okay, what you got?
I want a rotation. I want a new idea every week and something I'm going to bring to you. And I'm going to start with my proposal of the first one, okay? It's 30 seconds. If you're on Spotify and you don't want to hear an amazing song, press that skip button twice. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Tim and Joey, two blokes from Blighty on their podcast. They chat so sprightly, oh yeah, every Wednesday, full of nonsense crap, with silly jingles and plenty of fun. Oh! The jolly pants of Tim and Joey, they talk nonsense and voices so free. From Blighty they say, on the airways they roam, singing sea shanties, making us feel at home. Yo.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty awesome, right?
That's pretty great. I mean, that's definitely like an intro.
So I commissioned a pirate to make it.
How much did it cost you?
Nothing. I actually did it. It's all AI. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, this is that Suno that I've been kicking around, isn't it?
It is. But Tim, we're going to play a little game before we get into any of our regular sections, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give me a genre of music.
Country blues.
Country blues. And give me a topic, any topic.
Goku is getting a wisdom tooth removed.
We have a country blues song about Goku getting a wisdom tooth removed, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I just looked up at my shelf on the left where I've got like a couple of Goku statues.
That's fair, absolutely fair. So we're talking, right? I'm going to cut the little bit of keyboard tapping out, but what I'm cutting out is probably about 10 seconds, and I hadn't clicked send. I clicked send when I confirmed what the topic was.
Okay.
AI has already made the song.
That's pretty baffling.
It's incredible. So I'm going to share this. I wasn't going to share my screen and do all this nonsense with you, but I am going to do it this time. So are you ready? It'll come up with two versions of this song.
Okay.
And we'll start with this one.
Down in the valley where dragon balls lay, there's a saying warrior and a whole lot of pain.
This is pretty impressive.
It's mental.
Who's got a toothache and it's bringing him down? He's seeking a dentist in this sleepy old town.
That's version one. So they do two versions for every single time you put in an input. So here's the second.
Down in the valley where the dragon balls lay, there's a sand warrior and a whole lot of pain. Goku's got a toothache, it's bringing him down. He's seeking a dentist in his sleepy old town. He hits the ride on Nimbus up to the dentist's door. Saying, Doc, I need your help, my mouth is sore.
I mean,
mind-blowing.
That's pretty incredible, but the thing that Joey hasn't mentioned there is it's also generated album art of a bunch of the Saiyans from Dragon Ball, including Vegito.
Sitting in a dentist's office.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So,
Tim, in the future,
I'm going to make a new intro song every single week, okay? And I'm going to use this software to do it.
Sure.
I've already got a blues version, a folk version, a metal version, an emo version. I can do hip hop. I can do spoken word. I can do whatever the hell you want it to be. Expect to see them in the next few episodes.
All right. That'll be interesting. That'll be fun.
I'll put the whole version of the sea shanty as our intro for this week. No, I'll put it as the outro for this week, but going forward, it'll be the intro.
That sounds good. Okay. That's good.
Cool.
Good.
Tim, let's get into a quiz question.
Yes, pub quiz question of the week.
Hold your horses.
Pub quiz question of the week. Not a jingle, that's a sound effect at best.
What we have there is a fucking jingle, Tim. Fucking jingle. Tim, why is the pub quiz question of the week?
Pub quiz question of the week is, what is the Pythagorean theorem?
Well, that's A plus B equals C.
Not quite.
A times B equals C.
Not quite.
Oh, fucking hell. It's how to work out the long side of a right angle triangle.
Yeah.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Okay, yeah, that's it. So we'll move on to a different question.
It's Pythagoras theorem, not Pythagorean.
We are going to go with, what is the capital of Kenya?
K.
No.
It is.
I mean, if you're writing out, I suppose, yes, but the capital city.
For the audio listeners, which is everyone listening, Tim rolled his eyes and rubbed them as if he's like, I'm not.
I've been having a weird eye thing with this eye in particular last week. Yeah, it's pink eye. It's back.
As we spoke about last week.
Yeah, no, I think it's just hay fever fucking with it at this point, which is super fun every day, especially waking up and your eye's like, oh, my eye is immediately in pain.
All day, son.
All day. What days of the week we got, Joey?
Well, Tim, this episode comes out on the 17th of April.
That is Joey's birthday.
It is my birthday. But what day of the week is that?
That is a Wednesday?
A Wednesday, you say?
I'm pretty sure it's a Wednesday.
Where the fuck is my Wednesday? There it is.
Wednesday.
So for the audience, because I know Joey's going to edit this in post in terms of volume, that was deafeningly loud.
As it should be. Tim, so we've got National Ellis Island History Day.
Is that the one in New York?
It is. It's the one where you had to sign in to be an immigrant into the United States of America.
Yeah.
Pretty cool one. National Haiku Poetry Day.
Appreciate a haiku.
Love a haiku. National Cheeseball Day.
Oh, are we talking like mozzarella or?
I don't know, just fucking ball of cheese.
Ball of cheese.
National Crawfish Day.
Eh.
No. National Banana Day.
I like a banana, but I don't think it requires a whole day.
I fucking hate bananas.
It makes me sad I share my birthday with a fucking banana day.
Are those our options?
Yeah, that's all of them. Told you it was weak.
Now, you weren't kidding. It was weak. Can you run through them one more time? I've genuinely forgotten some.
In reverse order, Banana Day, Crawfish Day, Cheeseball Day, Haiku Poetry Day, and Ellis Island Family History Day.
Haiku Day.
Haiku Day. What do you want people to do?
Write a haiku about how their morning has been. That's it.
I like it. Pop in the Discord. We will enjoy that very much. Tim, what is the format of a haiku? 575?
575, I think, yeah.
Five syllables, then seven syllables, then five syllables.
Yeah, yeah. No cool. Rhyming. No rhyming in a haiku.
Is that a rule? I thought that's you could, rule. But you don't have to.
No, it's a rule. No rhyming, I think.
Okay. Tim, do you want to go? Do you want to do movies?
Yes, we should quickly knock movies on the head because we meant to talk about it last episode and I didn't watch the fucking movie.
You didn't watch the bloody movie. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Movies.
There it is, the live jingle. So, 2 weeks ago, Joey asked us to watch Warrior, the 2011 film with Tom Hardy.
Warrior. Yeah.
The word's going to lose meaning eventually if we keep going. But
bird.
Warrior.
Oh, warrior.
Warrior.
Okay, cool. So, Tim, I described this movie as fantastically generic. Did it live up to that hype?
No, I actually quite liked it.
Fantastically generic doesn't mean a bad thing. It's an underdog tale where two long-lost brothers and their alcoholic father have to fight in an ultimate fighting tournament. And there's...
What you're describing is anime.
training montages and...
The dad's going to lose the house.
The dad's
going to... He loves his wife and kids.
Yeah, and he goes off and does secret fights that they don't know about so he can get paid. And he's
past.
But one of the brothers is evil and one of them's a high school teacher that all the kids really love.
Like, it's very tropey, but it's
super generic. It's got like 9 or 10 really generic tropes going. But it does it so well.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
So I should really quickly run through the plot. We have two brothers, Tom and Brendan. And yes. Tom is has not seen Brendan or their dad, Paddy, since Paddy the Irish Drunk Man. Which
I can throw another
just,
one on the pile.
Only just clock that.
Tom, by the way, played by Tom Hardy.
Yeah, so Tom, played by Tom Hardy, hasn't seen the brother, Brendan, or Paddy, the dad, since their mother passed away. The mother and Tom ran away from the dad because he was an abusive alcoholic. But what he also was a bloody good fighting trainer. There is a tournament being made to find the ultimate fighter that is not the UFC. It's like a...
It's Sparta tournament.
Sparta, which if the winner wins millions of dollars, $5 million.
I watched it this morning.
$5 million. And they go through... like rounds to get to it. It's a 24-hour tournament put on by some guy with lots of money that's not really explained.
Oh, it's just he likes fights. Like, yeah. He explains it's a really dumb reasoning. He explains to the commentators when they're interviewing him on the first night of this big Sparta tournament. It's like, why did you put this tournament together? Why is this your lifelong project? And he was like, I always really like the discussion of, could my dad beat up your dad? I want to see who's the toughest dad.
Yeah, and it turns out that one of the brothers is the toughest dad.
Yeah, it's hilariously tropey.
But we also forgot another brilliant, hilarious trope. Tom is he's like a shutout. He wants to be isolated from society, and the reason that he does is because he was in the military. And he saved a whole battalion under fire, but he didn't want to take credit because he was actually abandoning his own squadron.
He's got military problems, and he's going to be arrested.
but basically, the two
also,
brothers...
Also, he's on drugs.
Is he on drugs?
At the start of the movie, he goes into the diner, and the dad's like, but you've got to get off the pills, and he throws two of these like medicine canisters, like the orange ones, on the table, and the dad goes, When you walked in, it went chick, chick, chick. That's three. And he took out a third one and threw it on the table.
Yeah. So he wants to go so he can have money. And the other brother is going to lose the house because he's not paying the mortgage for an unexplained reason, because it's expensive.
He's working three jobs already. He does car park boxing matches or MMA matches. He's a physics teacher, a full-time job, and the wife does something. She's employed, but she does something.
Yeah. But they're both good fighters, basically, and they both find a way to get into this very exclusive tournament that's going to be broadcast around the world. And they have to go through rounds, and the good brother is an underdog, and the bad brother is a unknown entity that everyone kind of turns to love and thinks will win the fight very easily.
He's a bad bitch.
Throughout it, the dad relapses from his sobriety. The brothers end up in the final together. We have a fight with Kurt Angle, which I didn't really expect.
That caught me so off guard. Kurt Angle plays a giant Russian man.
Do you want that to stay in?
No, no. Throw it in the pile of cancelable sound clips. So Kurt Angle plays a big Russian man with a big Russian plan to just throw people around the ring.
Which works until he comes across good boy Brendan.
American dad. Stan Smith and his pet alien Roger get into the ring.
But they fight. America wins. Yeehaw and all that. And then the two brothers are in the final. And are you ready for one of my favorite tropes? All the kids in the school hire out a drive-in movie theater, and the head teacher, who had previously suspended the good dad, turns it all around and shows up to watch and support him.
So this is something I didn't understand in the film, right? Yeah. Not the head teacher. I get that he has to like maintain a presence, as it were.
Well, basically, good boy teacher Brendan gets beaten up in. Well, he doesn't get beaten up. He's got facial injuries from one of his car park fighting brawls. And he gets suspended without pay because it's not a good look for a teacher to be fighting.
So why didn't he just be like... Because the whole thing was like the head teacher seemed to be largely okay with it. It was the superintendent that, like, you know, issued the suspension. But why couldn't they just be like, oh, I got mugged. Oh, sorry. I guess it won't happen again. And
I don't know. Maybe he's too good and too American to tell a lie.
He loves his family so much that he won't keep his job that he can't afford the rent with.
Yeah, basically. That's it.
It just seemed like some very flawed logic. Like, he didn't even try.
But do you know what I think saves this movie? And we've kind of shat all over it. I really like this film. I've seen it two or three times. I think the way that the fight scenes are shot is immense. It's so like visceral, and it feels like you're in the ring with them.
It takes a lot of getting used to. I can remember thinking in the first couple of fights, like when evil Tom Hardy, let's call him by his proper name, Venom.
Tom.
Venom fights a guy in this boxing ring called Angry Dog Kevin or whatever he's called.
They've all got names like that, haven't they?
Something like that, yeah. But he fights this guy, and his trainer's like, hey, Angry Dog Kevin kicked the shit out of a scrawny dude. Go pay a small child $200 to get me some ice. And Tom Hardy goes, I'll fight him. And then Tom Hardy kicks the shit out of him and goes, you owe me $200. And the guy ends up wanting to be his manager. Because he beat the shit out of this guy who was like a contender for like the world middleweight title. This is of course right at the start of the movie, but during that fight, there was a lot of cutaways to the people in the audience being like, "Yeah, yeah, good fight, great fight." And I was like, "I can't see the fight. I can't see what's happening."
You got used to it.
Yeah, once you got used to it, because it's such a, like Joey said, it's like a real visceral, like it's really viscerally shot. And to the point that I'm not used to seeing that kind of thing in a film, and I was like, I can't see the action. And then after the third fight, I was like, oh, I get it.
There was a lot of fights. So, Tim, that boy that went to go and get ice and get $200, he missed the point in that. So they were sparring Angry Dog Jim or whatever his name is, and knocked out his sparring partner, so he had no one to practice fighting with.
Yeah, and Tom Hardy says, I'll keep the boy warm.
So they say, get so-and-so on the phone. He's a member of this gym, and we'll give him $200 if he wants to be Angry Dog Jim's sparring partner. Oh, there was no getting ice.
He definitely didn't go get ice.
It's probably because he just knocked someone the fuck out.
I think what I've done is just blended two people together who have a vague connection to the gym. The other thing as well, gym memberships are bloody expensive in 2024. Mm. And I know this film was like based in 2011, but $35 to get a locker at a gym and you can just rack up between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. That's a stunning deal for a gym.
It's not like the classiest gym.
No, but you'd get your exercise, or they'd kill you.
It's not just a gym. They're a family.
It's a family. I can't do a Philadelphia accent.
Was mine Philadelphia?
It was a bit London-y, bit Boston-y.
Bit family.
Yeah. Either way, good movie. Enjoyable movie.
Terribly generic in every single way. Everything you think is going to happen, happens.
I find this with a lot of, like, modern Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies, where a whole character can be summed up with, he loves his family so much.
And you mean Fast and the Furious?
My family so much. I can connect to this character. There's a lot of that in this. Yeah. But it's done very well.
It is. Recommend?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Did you put it on Letterboxd?
I put it on Letterboxd and my IMDb.
What did you score it out of 10 on IMDb?
8.
That's fair. I mean, it's got an 8.1 overall as an average. So,
yeah.
Well done, Warrior.
Well done, Warrior. And next week for Movie Club, we are going to be watching Life of Pi.
Oh, I've never seen Life of Pi.
Me either, but I picked up a sealed Blu-ray at a charity shop last week of it.
It's about a cat on a barge, right? Yeah. On a canal boat, right?
You're thinking of Steamboat Willie.
It's a cat on a steamboat chasing a mouse round, right? Yeah.
It's Tom and Jerry.
If the mouse was a small Indian man.
And Tom was a tiger.
And the boat was at sea.
And it was a small 6-foot rowing boat.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a real film, it wouldn't be very long, would it?
No, the tiger would just eat the man at the end.
Yeah, and then a kraken would take the boat.
Yeah. And he'd say, what's kraken lacking?
On that, let's go to jokes.
Let's go to jokes. That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that. That's the joke of the week. Joke of the week.
Explain the joke of the week.
All right, well, joke of the week is Joey and I will go back and forth telling each other jokes until one of us laughs. If that joke makes the person laugh, then that is joke of the week. Audience joining at home, let us know where you laughed if you did.
I don't know if people tell the truth, because some of our jokes are shit.
I know, but some of them get them. Like the Northern Boy and Slade chimed in last week, I think.
Chimed in is so snippy, Tim.
What do you mean?
They piped up.
Well, they mentioned that they laughed at the jokes. They interact with the rest of the episode as well.
Okay, Tim, I've got 6 jokes.
I have 9.
Oh, you go first, then.
I totally didn't find a minute before recording.
You go first.
All right. Old classic, this one. Two fish are driving in a tank. One turns to the other and says, you man the guns and I'll drive.
Nice little misdirect.
Yeah.
My friend lost his car. I'll call him Carlos.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. What did the guy say at his second rodeo? Not my first rodeo.
Very good. I like it. Yeah. My friend asked me if I'd seen the film Tractor. No, I said, but I have seen the trailer.
That's very good. Mm. That's really good. A man walks into a doctor's office with a carrot in his ear and a piece of celery up his nose, and the doctor says, I don't think you're eating properly.
He wouldn't be eating properly. That would be uncomfortable as well.
Yeah.
I've decided to sell my Hoover. It was just collecting dust.
It's clever.
Mm-hmm.
Clever. When you enter a washroom, you're Canadian. When you leave a washroom, you're American. But what are you when you're in the washroom?
I don't know.
European.
I like it. That was strong. Yeah, really good. Did you hear that Aladdin was banned from the magic carpet race?
No.
He was caught using performance-enhancing rugs.
That nearly got me.
Mm.
Nearly got me. What do walruses and Tupperware have in common?
They're both thick as fuck.
They both love a tight seal. Joe's grimacing a bit.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Whew. I heard a rumor that Cadbury's is bringing out an oriental chocolate bar. That could be a Chinese whisper.
That's good. That's one for the Brits.
Yeah.
From
the Blighties.
From the Blighties. Just found out cockfighting's done with chickens. It's 12 months of training wasted.
I know where you get these, because I decided not to use that one. My dad suggested that I register for a donor card. He's a man after my own heart.
Good.
That's my last one.
What? Okay, well, I've got a couple more. What do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
Ground beef. What do you call a cow with three legs?
Slow. I don't know.
Lean beef.
Lean beef. Okay.
Good. What do you call a man with a seagull on his head?
Piers.
Cliff.
Cliff. Very good.
Good. And my last one, what do you call a masturbating bull?
Go on.
Beef stroganoff.
It's good.
Yeah. That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that as that's the joke of the week.
What's the joke?
What do you call a masturbating bull? Beef stroganoff.
We went for a walk with Pepsi on Friday.
Saw a masturbating bull.
Well, I saw a bull. I don't believe it was masturbating. It was fucking huge.
They're huge. They're massive animals.
We were, you know, the Father Ted where he does small, far away.
Hmm.
If as far as away as it was, I would have thought it was close up. It was massive.
Yeah. Tane was telling me the first time she ever saw a horse, she was terrified of it because it was a shire horse, and she was like, they're fucking huge. That's terrifying.
They are big. Very big.
Very big.
Tim, do you want to talk about Jeff Goldblum, or would you like me to go through some of the things I've popped to tell you this week?
Well, Joey's put a lot on the running order. I think I've only got three things out of the total non-regular sections. I'd like to talk to one, because you read me a story from Reddit, and I don't know if you've seen this Reddit story.
No.
Don't go on the link. I'd like to read you the story.
Please.
So, you know, you like your Today I Fucked Up stories.
I love them, yeah.
This one is from Casual UK. I love the Casual UK subreddit. It's great.
Okay.
This one is, sorry, Amazon person, I fucked up by being extremely stupid.
Okay.
So, story goes, I ordered something from Amazon yesterday and had it delivered to a locker, as I'm not working today and needed to go to a laundrette, which has a locker a couple of minutes away. Got the delivery notification, so I popped off, popped my laundry into a bag of washing and went to the laundrette, collect my parcel. The weather was a bit drizzly, but when I scanned my code, I fumbled my phone and dropped it. Large locker at ground level opened, and without thinking, I stuffed my dirty laundry into the locker and slammed the door shut and picked up my phone. Now, as far as the Amazon people are concerned, I've retrieved my parcel, the code won't work again, and the locker now has my bag of dirty laundry, sweaty socks, and undercrackers. This is going to be an awkward phone call, to say the least. How is your day going?
That's good. I really like it. I really like it, because I use those lockers.
I use them once. They're really good.
Well, I don't use them for Amazon. I use them for Vinted,
mm-hmm.
Because it's more expensive.
You shop on Vinted?
Every now and then. Not loads of stuff.
Huh.
But the one for us is, it's like a wall of lockers. I think it's the same with the Amazon ones. If you put the code in, it doesn't tell you which one's going to open.
No.
So I like to stand quite close to them and see if one gives you a little bonk when it opens.
Yeah. Well, if you turn around, see if it gives you a little smack on the tush.
Yeah. Ooh, cheeky. Ooh.
That's a bit of thrill in the morning.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good story. Let's bring more like that.
I'll certainly try.
Cool.
Just rely on the public being idiots for a bit.
I mean, come on. That is not an unsafe bet, Tim.
No. I mean, I'm reading the comments here and someone said, keep us updated on how this gets resolved. I'm quite enjoying your misfortune at the moment. And he responded with, I'm currently considering changing my name and moving to the other end of the country.
Yeah, you would. Yeah. You absolutely would. Tim, choose one. I've put a few things in there.
Let's go with, and this is one that Joey's just spelled out here and has naturally got my curiosity. Joey's series of unfortunate events, bird shit, vomit and squash dogs.
Yeah, so this is a short story about when we took Pepsi, the dog, and my son to the park. And all of these things happened in the space of about 5 seconds. So we were walking back when Jack gets a bit tired. He's, you know, he's only little. He loves running around. He runs around loads. You know, he's a kid. That's what they do. He stands in front of Jenny. He puts his arms up and he goes, Carrie. And being the little prince that he is, he can be carried. Because he should be. He's a child. They got tired legs. He doesn't have a pram. He doesn't want a pram.
No, he wants to run around until he's knackered.
Exactly. And he did. So we were walking back to the car. Jenny had Jack in hand. Everything was going great. Starting to drizzle. Thought, don't worry, he's got his puddle suit on. We're right next to the car. Tim, have you ever felt a puddle suit?
No.
It's like a waterproof onesie.
Oh, okay.
And we're walking and we're walking and we're going under these trees and all of a sudden this enormous bird shit lands on Jack. Now, don't know if you know this about me. I have a fairly strong stomach with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Runny bird shit is not one of them.
Where did it land on Jack? Like on his head?
On his back.
Oh, okay.
So I went to clean it off with a tissue that I had in my hand. This bird needs to sort its diet out because the thing went straight through the tissue and onto my hand.
Oh, no.
I proceeded to vomit in the path, which splattered everywhere. And whilst trying to avoid standing in my own vomit, I stood on Pepsi. The worst thing on top of this is I didn't get all of it and the bird shit ended up on Jenny's jumper.
Oh, no.
And this is on the way out to where we were going, so it was there. Poor Dick. Yeah, it was a hell of like a 5-10 second window that I'm very glad none of the locals saw.
Oh, it's amazing. You've also written just here the question, who the fuck is Joe?
Okay. This is a good one. So, you're right there, Tim.
Yeah, no, you got a hiccup.
I was walking back from the football with Chris, and where I park, so Villa Park is in the middle of Aston,
mm-hmm.
hence the name. Aston Villa.
What?
Whoa. We're walking back, and we park probably a mile and a half from the stadium because traffic's awful. I don't want to sit in it. Waste of petrol, waste of time. So I'd rather walk with Chris because I drop him back after the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking back. I look at my phone, which is on silent, and I have 3 missed calls from Jenny. Chris looks at his phone. 2 missed calls from Jenny. I think, shit, something's gone wrong. This is quite late. It's an emergency. I try calling her back. No answer. Try calling her back. No answer. We get back to the car, and I put the phone in the hands-free kit in the car, and it starts to ring, and it's Jenny. I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Is everything all right? She said, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. There was a man here earlier. And he was dropping wood off on the drive. I was like, what?
Wood?
Yeah. Just old, manky bits of wood. And Jenny had gone, are you all right? What are you doing? She's like, the guy said, I've come to drop some wood off for Joe. And Jenny thought, oh, he must mean Joey. She said, I don't think he's asked for any wood. Now, I'm going to have to be really careful so I don't dox myself here.
Hmm.
Where I live, there is a street up the top of the hill.
Yep.
And I live on the cul-de-sac that off it. So it's two streets. You can't get anywhere going down either of them. And they have the same name. So one of them is called Blank Street and one of them is Blank Grove.
Sure, yep.
We love on Grove. He goes, second house on the end. That's us. Blue garage door. That's us. And Joe has asked for this. And I'm going, I don't know what you're on about. I've no idea. I've not asked for any wood. And Jenny goes, I don't think it's him. I don't know what you're talking about. Joe Jackson? And Jenny was like, no, that's not him. Turns out, on Blank Grove, there's us with all of those things, and I'm Joey. On Blank Street, second house on the end, on the left, has a blue garage door, and the guy is called Joe, and Joe asked for wood up there. And the exact same scenario is on our street. How weird a coincidence
that's,
is
that's
that?
That's a very big coincidence.
Yeah, it's cool. I just thought it'd be a good story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you glad I wasted a minute and a half with that?
No, I thought it was entertaining. I got a big picture from that.
Good.
Yeah.
The one after it is really short as well, so we can go through that.
Oh, yeah, rattle off. Go on.
The headline for this I use is, I bloody love carp fishing.
Yep.
So, Tim, if you had a car and you loved carp fishing, how many stickers exclaiming your love for carp fishing would you stick on it?
I'd barely be able to see out the back window.
So our next door neighbour has a car with 5 stickers exclaiming how much he loves carp fishing, as well as stickers of carp fish on his car.
I can remember seeing a magazine, and it was a fishing magazine of some description, and it had on the front carp of the month, and I was like. How,
I like it.
So first of all, what determines carp of the month?
Well, we have Discord user of the week. It's basically the same thing.
We do, but sure. Like, what happens if you get the same carp again?
What happens if you get the same Discord user again?
Well, the Discord all, users all, have names. The carps.
Nah, they're all carps to us.
They're all carps. And you we're trout.
Yeah, we are. Trout. I don't know where trouts and carps lie on the food chain.
I think they're pretty similarly placed.
They're all bottom feeders.
Both eaten by humans. So I did put another article in here, and I think it's a contender for Wow, That's Crazy.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, damn, that's crazy.
So this is an article that I read at work the other day when I should have been working, but there was nothing to do. And the article headline is, Against the Spirit, Irish basketball team refuses order to play the last 0.3 seconds of game.
What?
So, there's an Irish basketball game between Limerick and Portaloise.
Okay.
Or Portaloise. I think that's how it's pronounced, Portaloise. And the score was 80 Portaloise, 78 Limerick. But the contention is that one of the Portaloise players threw the ball at the point the buzzer went. And the debate is whether or not the ball had left his hands at the point of the buzzer.
So I'm not that good with basketball. If he's thrown the ball and it's left his hands before the buzzer, it counts if it scores.
Correct.
If it's in his hands or leaving his hands and there's contact when the buzzer goes, no score.
Correct, because effectively the action hasn't been taken.
Okay.
So that's the debate. And because it was at the point of leaving the hands, the Limerick team complained to the Irish Basketball League, who then made a request after looking at all sorts of facts and figures and footage and whatever. Who made the?
Don't imagine there's a great deal of footage of that.
No. I don't know what their investigation involved, but they put out a thesis of a tweet.
Okay.
Explain their reasoning, and their order was for the team to play the last 0.3 seconds of the game. But the problem is, that if you remember that score 80-78, what's the most amount of points you can score in a single basketball shot?
Three
pointer. It would have been enough if they replay that last 0.3 seconds for Portaloise to then lose the game.
Yeah.
So Portlois are actually refusing to do it. I don't know what that means for them in terms of consequence if they're refusing to do it, but the decision is either lose the game by replaying 0.3 seconds of a game or lose the game by not playing that 0.3 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, they get knocked out at the Division One quarterfinals.
For that.
They have been. The article you posted says that Limerick Sports Eagles will play Tolka Rovers rather than Portlois.
Yeah. That's I really feel like I obviously I don't know, I'm not there, I'm not in the moment, I'm not a fan of either team. So I don't know if I have any sort of bias in this, but I feel like that's a little bit of a bullshit decision.
It's very much like the pencil pushers making the rules, isn't it?
It is. And it feels like the people, like the guys on the Limerick team were using that pencil pushing to very much to their advantage.
Yeah, but can you imagine things like there'll be a cost associated with getting the Portlois team in the same room as the Limerick team? There'll be a cost associated with the officiation of the game. There'll be a cost associated with
venue hire.
Yeah, well, unless they have their own venue, but then surely there's a staffing cost to do with that as well.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, okay, stop, done. That's it.
Done. That's your game.
Go home. See
it's
you later.
It's a stupid decision. I could maybe understand the last 3 minutes of the game, for example.
Even that, I mean, it's Irish basketball. Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a shit about it? Sorry, Limerick and Portlois.
Yeah, that is mental. That's crazy in a different kind of crazy to we're used to. What we're used to is, wow, that's so out of the ordinary and out of the box. And this is, wow, that's so pathetic.
It's really pedantic.
Yeah.
I've written one other thing on here. You've written one other thing on here. But do you want to get to a Gaetano before we get into either of them?
Oh, yes, I do.
We need to get a theme for Gaetano of some sort.
Gaetano's cheese steaks, they're yummy. But don't piss him off because he'll rip your head in two.
It didn't rhyme, but I liked it. It was kind of in keeping with the haiku theme. I'm going to send you a message on Discord with the review from 2 years ago from Stephen Garcia.
Do you want me to read it?
Can that be great?
I can't read, so there's a bad start.
There's a dilemma.
After looking at their menu and making a decision on two regular-sized subs priced around $12 each, it was to my surprise with two drinks added, the total came to $40. So I asked him, is there a mistake? He said no, and blamed it on high gas prices. Then I let him know that the online menu price was way off. He rudely replies, I can't change the menu on the website every week, which I responded with, no, but you can give customers a heads up and let them know that their prices have increased due to higher gas prices, not just trying to sneak a ridiculous price out of the customers. I've had my fair share of cheesesteaks, and these are, at the best, mediocre. So buyers, be aware, the online prices are not accurate. The food does not correlate with the increase in price. If you're planning on ordering from them, I suggest asking for a total before having the price shock after your sandwiches are made. Overall, I suggest finding a different sandwich shop altogether. Mind you, this was the price for a regular size, not even the larger.
So,
fuck you, Stephen.
So, Gaetano has responded, wow, talk about an exaggeration, Stephen. After you spent 5 minutes trying to figure out how to add, you questioned the prices, to which we explained, unfortunately, prices are higher everywhere, including the gas pump and grocery store. We then referred you to the sign directly adjacent to the register that explains the price increases. Same explanation, verbatim, that our website under the menu, and that it's on our website under the menu section as well. The menu clearly states the price is subject to change due to the fact that inflation has torpedoed the value of dollar prices, and everything is generally higher. We do not have the luxury to change our menus every week or day by day, like gas stations or grocery stores, which is why we, like many other places, have had to hang on to a sign stating that costs have risen significantly. We apologize for it. There's nothing we can do about it. And if we want to keep our doors open, We're not trying to sneak anything by anyone because honestly, it isn't possible with prices being higher due to the reasons and that we've stated above and many more. Maybe you felt we were sneaking something by you because you were clearly floating through your life with the lights on and no one home, you ignorant dolt. Keep your vest and helmet on for safety reasons and be extra nice to Yolanda for all that she does for you. Lord knows she's a saint for getting you this far in life.
That's a pretty
reasonable explanation, to be fair.
The insult dolt isn't used enough, and I used it once and someone complimented my use of it. Not the person I was calling a dolt, I might add. But every time someone uses it, I think the word dolt is just not used enough in today's society. So well done, Gaetano.
Big props. Big props. Well
done, Gaetano. I can't remember your jingle, but we're on your side.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about how you sexually propositioned an old lady at Aldi, or do you want to talk about my EDF story?
Which do you want to talk about, Tim?
I think your one sounds more fun. So if we do mine first and then end on a bit of a higher.
Okay, yeah, fine.
So.
Let me tell you now, it wasn't a higher for the old lady.
So, for the audience, I'm sure you're aware, I moved house about a month and a half ago at this point. And I don't normally like to name and shame companies on here, but fuck you, EDF. You are the worst company I've ever had the displeasure of dealing with. So, I obviously contacted EDF when I moved out of my old place, gave them my final meter reads, and having worked in the energy industry for many years, a long time ago, I have a general understanding on how these things work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few days to generate the final bill. Obviously, they've got to calculate it based on the reads, yada, yada, yada. I get a copy of the final bill. I lose the final bill, but I've got a direct debit set up, so it's all set to go out.
Okay.
I then get a message from EDF saying, hey, we couldn't collect your direct debit. I'm also in the process of closing down the old bank account, which is probably why they got that. But okay, fair enough. I'll go on the EDF website and I'll take a look. It says £103.48. I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough. It's based on meter reads, fine. And then I tried to call them. I sent them a message on their WhatsApp system, but I was like, oh, I'm not gonna get through. It says on the thing it's gonna take like 12 to 24 hours for them to get back to me, so I'll just call. And I was like, oh, okay, I just want to check that you've got the right details. And they're like, yeah, your final bill's £169. I was like, well, no, it says on the website, £103. And they were like, yeah, that's due to an error. It's 169. But I'm not having that. I'm looking at a thing that says £103 and you're still trying to collect £103. And this person just wasn't listening to me. I ended up like raising a complaint about it. Like, not to sound like a fucking, you know.
What you're saying.
Yeah, man, Karen. So I'm normally not one to kick off a customer service staff. But this person just was not listening, and EDF were doing my head in because I ended up paying the 169, and you know, raising a complaint and being like, because I could see they were still trying to take the 103, and I said, can you cancel my direct debit? And I just so happened to check a couple of days later that on the balance, just to make sure everything is closed off, and they were still trying to take the 103. So I raised another complaint. And they were like, oh, that's really bad. We can give you £25. Like, no, that's not going to do it. So they came back to me about 20 minutes later with a phone call from someone on the complaints team. The most we can do is £50. I'm sorry, I'm not having that. Okay. They come back to me about 2 hours later. The most we can do is £75. I said, no, I'm not settling for anything less than £103.48. It's the amount you're trying to charge me. So, okay. Let me check, but you may not get anything further and we may revoke the offer. Okay. 5 minutes later, they come back to me and goes, we can give you the £103.48. Great.
So are you back up now?
I've effectively paid the 169. They're refunding me 103.
You've done all right out of that.
They're idiots. Yeah. But the story doesn't stop there.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, okay, that's all done and sorted. They've said it'll take, you know, 5 working days or whatever to get the refund to me, which is fine. That's a bank processing time. I understand that very well.
Mm-hmm.
I get a letter from EDF, and this is dated April 8th because I have it on my desk.
So just a couple of days ago.
Now, keep in mind, I paid this on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And this letter says, Final payment reminder. Your final payment is overdue. I'm thinking, you dickheads. So I get onto their WhatsApp again, and I'm like, what is this? I paid my balance. And they were like, oh, yes, sorry. The letter was sent out late due to an error. I was like, but I paid it on the 5th, and this letter's dated the 8th. And they were like, oh, we've sent you another letter that says you're actually £66 in credit now. I was like, well, I haven't been with you for a month. How am I now up?
God.
And they said, oh, okay, yep, so I can confirm you don't owe us anything. You are actually owed £66. We're going to get that refunded for you. And I was like, the glass guy said £66 was coming to my bank account. When can I expect that? And they were like, oh, I don't know when we can expect it, but we sent you a check with it. It'll be there in 7 to 9 working days. And I'm like, who the fuck uses check anymore? Who uses check? So now that's the situation I'm in, and I've got a letter downstairs saying I'm owed £66 and that I'm getting a check in 2024.
So your last bill on your old place was effectively zero, though?
Effectively, yeah.
Nice.
Done well out of that.
I mean, I could tell you that EDF is shit, because I've had a very similar experience with them.
They awful company. Like, I used to work in the energy industry. I know how these things work.
But so what they did to us was, and I can't remember the numbers, but they said in they said at the end of summer, oh, you haven't really used that much energy, so we're going to lower your price. And I said,
price or direct debit?
Direct debit. So I said, I don't want you to do that because we will use more over the winter and I want it to balance out. And they said, we can't do that. The price will be lower on your direct debit. So they lowered it. And then the next spring, they said, you owe us £270 or something to that effect because they'd lowered the direct debit.
That's
and I told them I didn't want to. I would never use EDF. They are a bunch of shyster twat bags.
I'm never going back to them. We're actually with Ovo at my current place, who I used to work for, which is fun.
You're really throwing the names out here, Tim.
I am. But do you know what? Ovo, generally speaking, not known for being the cheapest provider, we're actually the cheapest in our area.
Good.
So good.
We've gone on to very dull old man chat, Tim.
I know. This is dad pod, but I'm not a dad.
Dad pod.
Yeah. Let's get on to your sexually accosting an old woman story, and we'll end it there.
We'll get the heck out of here.
Oh, so, you know, we haven't done Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah, okay, let's do that first.
You'll never guess who I'm going to pick.
My name is... People always ask me how I pronounce my name, Goldblum or Goldblum. I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
So we now choose who Jeff Goldblum is charming this week.
So I want you to go first because it's fairly obvious where I'm going.
Well, I imagine you're going to an old lady in Aldi.
Correct.
I don't know, the northern boy, because he's just such a charming fellow himself.
He's a charmer.
We'll have a charm off.
Yeah.
Where they charm each other off. And...
I'm going to charm.
Oh, please don't sue us, Jeff. And so, Tim, who's Jeff Goldblum charming?
An old woman in Little. Aldi.
Aldi. Come on.
All right. Come on, hit me with the story.
So on Monday, Jenny and I think Jackson Nursery. We'll get the weekly shop done. Easy peasy, do it on the lunch break, take 20 minutes, half an hour, and we're done for the week. I'm pushing the trolley, grabbing the bananas, sticking them in the basket for Jack, not for me. I've made it very clear I hate bananas. Get the milk, stick it in the basket. We're going down the veg aisle. Jenny says, get some potatoes. Yeah, no problem. Whack some potatoes in the basket. Now, when you get your veg... when they're a standard price and not done by weight, you get the biggest ones, right?
Of course, yeah.
You get the ones that are going to get you the most value. At the end of the aisle is the cucumbers. So I, with Jenny behind me, push my trolley to the end of the aisle. I'm very happy with myself because we've done very well so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in and I say, I'll just grab a cucumber. And I get the biggest cucumber I have. And I'm not joking, this thing was longer than my forearm.
A good cucumber.
Fucking massive. I, in my infinite wisdom, turn around and say, babe, is this one big enough for you? Jenny has gone to the next aisle at this point, and there is an old lady about 6 inches from my face. I've held up a cucumber and gone, babe, can you take this one? I told this story to Chris, and he laughed and said, oh, man, she must have thought it was funny. And I said, no, well, no, she looked at me with the look and expression of someone who had just been sexually propositioned with a cucumber in their stores at Aldi on a Monday afternoon.
Yeah. So it's about the look you'd expect.
It's about the look you'd expect. Babe, is this one big enough for you? She looked at me, didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. I put it in my trolley and I walked away.
That's the only winning move here is not to play.
Or I could have winked and seen.
Lick your lips a bit, see what happens there.
Yeah, just stand there like, what's the McPoyle sister called?
I don't know, but I just remember Liam McPoyle screaming, you will call her!
Yeah, just lick your lips, McPoyle. Just lick your lips at them. Keep your eye contact. And
yeah.
Don't molest anyone with a cucumber in Aldi.
Yeah, just tug a hair of it.
Okay, Tim. That was horrifying on every level. What was your... fucking hell. Tim, what was the pub quiz question of the week answer?
Pub quiz question of the week. The question was, what is the capital city of Kenya? It is Nairobi.
Should have guessed that one.
Should have, could have, would have. And I'm going to pick my Discord user of the week. If you want to be in the running for Discord user of the week, join the Discord. It's that simple. I'm going to go with Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think they've been online for a very long time, but they're in the Discord.
Well, there you go. There you go. Ooh.
So you don't even have to be an active user, just be in.
Just be a user. Tim, anything else you want to say to the... any chat-outs you want to do?
Do you know what? Let's do a little shout-out. I'm going to shout out the lovely Dan from Casting Views.
He's bloody lovely.
I don't know if we can say what we've done.
We can't. That's fine,
but... Okay, for no real reason, lovely Dan.
For very suspicious reasons, the lovely Dan. And I would like to shout out our lovely friend Josh, Talking Smack, Forget About It, and the Podpack Collective, of course, as well as our brethren from another Metherin, Slade.
Yeah. Hello, Slade.
Are you listening?
I hope your month off is going well.
I don't. I know it's going well, so I can make that joke. Tim, anything else you want to say to the listeners?
Take that, you bastards.
Take that, you sea shanty loving fuckers.
Tim and Joey, two blokes from Blighty on their podcast. They chat so sprightly, oh yeah, every Wednesday, full of nonsense crap, with silly jingles and plenty of fun. Oh! The jolly bunch of Tim and Joey. The voice is so free. Oh. From Blighty, they say. On the airways, they roam, singing sea shanties, making us feel at home. Yo. They crack jokes, make us laugh till we cry with their banter. Time just passes by. Yeah. The charm of Tim and Joey, it's hard to resist their podcast. A treasure we'll never miss. The jolly bunch of Tim and Joey. The voice is so free. Oh, from Blighty they say. On the airways they roam, singing sea shanties, making us feel at home. Yo. They crap jokes, make us laugh till we cry. With their banter, time just passes by. Ooh, yeah. The charm of Tim and Joey, it's hard to resist. Their podcast, a treasure we'll never miss. The jolly banter of Tim and Joey. They talk nonsense, the voice is so free. From Blighty they say. On the airways they roam, singing sea shanties, making us feel at home.
Edit that pile.
Oof.
Just a rhyme backer, nothing special.
Just a mime, man.
Just a rhyme. Oh.
Oh, it's only a lager.
It's only a Aldi lager. oh, and you got a Prime. Amazing.
Prime. Sponsors of that team that my team fucking smashed today.
Let's go.